Hello, and welcome to the Heathrow results for the 3 months ending 31st of March 2017. I will now hand over to Javier Echave, the Chief Financial Officer. Please begin.
Thank you, Jerry. Welcome to everyone who have the dial in today, and thank you for joining us to our Q1 results presentation. I am Javier Echave, CFO of Heathrow Airport, speaking from our headquarters at Heathrow, where we are enjoying quite a light and bright day. So with me in the room, I have Andrew Ethion, our Director of Treasury, as well as Christelle Louvin, who has been recently appointed Debt Investor Relations Manager. So my intention over the next few minutes is to talk through key operational highlights, also to provide some insight into our financial performance, as well as sharing our strategic agenda, leaving some time at the end for questions. Before starting, I would like to remind attendees that you can follow our presentation through the link provided on the invitation or directly via our website. So without further ado, let's start on slide three. 2017, we started on a very positive note as Heathrow delivered great performance in all fronts, operationally, financially, and strategically. We were named by Passengers Best Major Airport in Europe for the third year running and maintained excellent satisfaction ratings while welcoming a record 17.2 million passengers, which is up 2.2% in the period. Cargo performance was also very strong, up 7.3% in the period, and one of the strongest in the last 5 years. So with this underlying traffic, our financial performance was, as a result, very strong, and we continue seeing the benefits of the efficiencies we have been implementing in the last few months and weeks, coupled with strong growth in retail income. So on the revenue side, we generated £655 million, which is up 2%, with prices to passengers down for third consecutive year. While we deliver better service and face higher volumes and accelerated inflation, despite all those pressures, our operating costs retain at £273 million, which actually were down 0.7% year-on-year and around 3% when computing on a per-passenger basis. So when you add revenues and costs, you can see our EBITDA year-on-year evolution increasing by 4.1% to £382 million. On the financing front, we successfully raised close to £170 million out of the £750 million senior debt issuance that we target for this year. And then finally, of course, on expansion, we moved into delivery mode with the draft national policy statement going through public consultation until May, while work continues with the government, regulator, airlines, communities and other stakeholders on obtaining planning permission by 2020 and delivering the new runway by 2025. So turning to traffic performance on slide four, 2017 is bringing the strongest traffic growth we have seen over a decade. Traffic performance in the first quarter reached a record of 17.2 million passengers traveling via Heathrow. The 2.2% headline increase represents an estimated 4 to 5% underlying growth after adjusting for the leap year in 2016, as well as the different timings of Easter in the 2 years. So there are many factors that contributed to this exceptional performance, which crystallized in fuller planes over the period. But more importantly, above all of them, exchange rates drove most of the growth, with load factor levels peaking on average in the period at 73%. Long haul remains the key growth driver, with traffic up 2.6% by Middle East and Asia Pacific, and underlining Heathrow's critical role as the UK's only hub airport connecting Britain to emerging market routes. We also saw increased momentum in short-haul traffic, with not only meaningful increases in continental European traffic, for example, Italy and Portugal, but also a striking boost in domestic traffic, where we saw Flybe starting their operations and taking advantage of the benefits that we have provided on tariff discounts. And now they are providing services to Scotland. And what we have seen in March is in the last 6 days of the month, they deliver 82 movements at a level of load factors that were above our original expectations. On the cargo side, Cargo, as mentioned, was up 7.3% over the period, again reinforcing the critical role that Heathrow play as the biggest British port, covering over 30% of the UK's non-EU exports. So to summarize, we have had an excellent start to the year in terms of traffic, underpinned by favorable relative value following depreciation of sterling against both euro and dollar. And in the coming months, we will continue monitoring closely performance, but with information that we currently have and as part of the publication of our investor report in June, we expect at this stage full-year traffic forecast to be revised upwards from the current 75.0 million forecast. Turning to slide 5, the chart reflects relative performance of Heathrow amongst other European hubs at times of quite geopolitical and economic volatility. The slide shows Heathrow's resilience and of the same growth story it still enjoys given its severe capacity constraints. For instance, Heathrow's traffic has been growing at the same pace than Charles de Gaulle and faster than Frankfurt in recent months. This slide also shows the growth potential that is out there, which Heathrow will access with expanded capacity. Moving on to slide 6, and to cover key operational performance, Heathrow continued to deliver a world-class service in Q1 2017, with passenger satisfaction ratings staying at their highs. Indeed, in the first 3 months of 2017, passengers rated their overall airport service satisfaction at 4.16, which is the highest Q1 score on record at Heathrow. And complementing this, we deliver not only a better, but also a more resilient service, with 83.4% of our flights departing within 15 minutes of schedule, broadly in line with the same period last year. Additionally, baggage performance improved meaningfully, with 99% of the bags traveling on time with their owners. And specifically, during February, we achieved the best ever monthly baggage performance, with 99.3% of the bags successfully connecting. In terms of what's behind this improvement, of course, improvement in the areas reflect the benefits of our investment in our Terminal 3 integrated baggage facility, which is probably one of the most innovative facilities in the world, as well as a strong partnership with our supply chain supporting us in the maintenance of the system. Turning to slide 7 and moving into expansion delivery, we have made great progress in the first 3 months of 2017, some of which were mentioned at our full year results in February. We have moved from campaigning mode to a delivery mode and are on track with our timeline following the government release of the draft national policy statement in early February. We continue working on our development consent order application and plan to run the first of two public consultations later this year. We have got further clarity from the regulator on the so-called Category B costs, which are related to obtaining planning permission, and discussions continue ongoing regarding Category C costs, which are related to construction. In light of the announcement of the general election 8th of June, there may be some moving parts, in particular with the designation of the national policy statement expected at the beginning of 2018. But overall, we are positive, as this will give us the opportunity to remove some of the political risk by having the same government designating national policy statement as well as approving planning consent. On the regulatory front, the CAA has published today a policy update on the H7 settlement and will confirm by June 2017 its position on a potential further extension of the current regulatory period to the end of 2020. So in short, still a lot of work ahead of us, but generally on track with the proposed timetable at this stage. Moving on to financial performance, on slide 9, the picture, as briefly described, is also very positive, with EBITDA up 4.1%. Behind that number, of course, revenue growth of 2% reflects surging traffic and increased retail and services revenue. And together with passenger service, our cost efficiency program continues being priority number one for us. In absolute terms, we deliver another quarter with material reductions, in this occasion around 3% down on a per passenger basis. And when focusing on balance sheet in the lower part of the chart on the slide, you can see that the regulatory asset base growth rate picked up, reflecting higher inflation in the period. And regarding net debt, we continue to have plenty of headroom to leverage trigger events and covenants, with Heathrow Finance leverage covenants remaining in line with our 5 percentage point target. Turning to slide 10, let me share further insight on our revenue performance. As you can see on the chart, the majority of the revenue comes from aeronautical income, and our results demonstrate we continue delivering better value for passengers. Outstanding service standards were complemented by lower prices for third consecutive year, with average aeronautical income per passenger down 2.2% year on year. In absolute terms, flat aeronautical income reflects the combination of lower regulated yield offset by traffic growth. Moving to other sources of income, retail performance remained a highlight with a 12 million pounds improvement or 6.4% increase when measuring on a per passenger basis. And the key drivers of retail performance were, as well as traffic depreciation of sterling, which was particularly noticeable in duty and tax-free, and airside specialist shops, together with a strong traffic performance. Complementing favorable macroeconomic conditions, we continue to deliver management actions to drive revenue growth further. And just to mention a few examples, the redevelopment of luxury stores in Terminal 4, completed in the last quarter of 2016, the new Rolex pop-up store in Terminal 2, or the extraordinary performance of the new Gucci store recently opened, are just a few examples. Given the regulatory single-till framework that Heathrow operates under, it's worth reminding that the larger value we can generate from our premium retail space, the lower the charges to our airlines and passengers. Moving on, slide 11 evidences also a strong performance delivering our ambitious cost optimization program. So overall, our costs reduced on absolute terms by 0.7% in the period, with 3% reduction on a per passenger basis. The impact of higher manpower to manage significantly larger traffic volumes, coupled with a non-cash increase in pension costs due to changes in accounting treatment, offset the benefits of people-related efficiencies, resulting in a net 5.7% increase in employment costs. On the other hand, the successful renegotiation of a major contract for the provision of high-voltage electricity infrastructure services in 2016 continues delivering recurrent savings in utilities bills, and our focus on energy demand management has also driven savings in electricity consumption while delivering our commitments to sustainability. Lastly, following the government's decision to support Heathrow expansion, expansion costs are now being capitalized rather than expense, driving part of the 12.2% reduction that you can see on this chart under the other costs category. Overall, we are on track to deliver our 600 million target of cost savings by 2018. And in the pipeline, our focus in the coming months will be on improving further supplier contract terms and delivering what we call internally Simpler Heathrow, which is a program aiming to simplify further the effectiveness of our back office processes. Looking at slide 12, the strong operating performance we had in Q1 generated almost 400 million of cash from operations. This amount funded all our capital investment as well as cash interest costs and a significant proportion of the regular dividend in the quarter, which typically is the weakest of the year due to seasonality of traffic. Taking into consideration all other outflows in the period, net debt increased just under £240 million since the end of 2016 to just over £12.1 billion, with £140 million of the increase driven by a temporary use of senior debt to repay Heathrow finance debt, and a significant part of the remainder reflecting the impact of higher inflation accretion on net debt. We expect that this temporary increase in senior gearing to partially reverse when we draw £75 million of Heathrow finance loans in June 2017. Turning to slide 13, the chart illustrates the robustness of our balance sheet in terms of gearing. So focusing on the consolidated net debt position, the consolidated 85.5% gearing is slightly lower than at the end of Q1 2016, helped by the impact of the ongoing current pickup in inflation on the value of our regulatory asset base. We continue to have substantial headroom to the trigger and covenant levels across all the different tranches of our debt, and in particular with nearly £700 million of EBITDA headroom at Heathrow Finance level. Moving to some successful developments in our financing activities on slide 14, you might remember from our full-year results, in 2017 we are targeting to raise no more than £750 million in Class A debt. And so far this year has started very strongly. Investors continue supporting our credit, which has helped us raising approximately £170 million out of this target. Andrew continues meeting more and more geographically distant investors to continue diversifying our debt portfolio in terms of credit, duration, and currency. As always, I would like to take the opportunity of this occasion to thank all of you to the credit and bank community for its continued support in our financing activities. In the period, we also increased the initial £350 million 3.75% year term loan signed last year by around £70 million, and this loan was fully drawn shortly after the quarter end. We also signed a new £100 million dual tranche private placement, which will be fully drawn in June. At the end of March, our liquidity horizon extended to December 2018, taking into consideration, among other things, over £1.3 billion of undrawn debt and cash resources. Overall, we remain very encouraged by the continuous strong of global investor community, and this gives us great confidence in the context of financing expansion. To finalize the financial section and wrapping up on slide 15 before moving on to the more strategic developments, we have had a strong start to 2017 that's setting us in a great position for the rest of the year. We're winning in all fronts, supported by the excellent work of the more than 75,000 colleagues at Heathrow. We are proud to continue delivering better value for money to our passengers and airline customers, connecting Britain more effectively with more domestic and international routes, enabling stronger passenger and cargo traffic, and record levels of service, punctuality, and baggage connectivity. We are reacting quickly to the commercial opportunities that market provides to continue growing our commercial revenue or securing our financing plans at better terms, as well as managing firmly our ambitious cost program. In terms of outlook, the traffic is higher than expected, with the current rolling annual traffic exceeding 76 million at the end of March. Given current trends, and we expect to upgrade our full-year traffic and financial forecast as part of our investor report due to be published in June. Turning to slide 17, let me share a strategic overview. As you well know, Heathrow has a very clear vision, which is to give passengers the best airport service in the world, and we deliver that through four key strategic priorities. The priorities reflect a very simple business logic: engage people, deliver excellent service, which in turn delivers financial returns and Heathrow's license to grow. Let me pick out a few of the highlights we are currently focusing on. In terms of Mojo and making people engaged and proud to work for Heathrow was ranked among the top 30 best major companies in the Sunday Times Best Companies list, and we continue investing in our people, including our security big picture sessions, where all security colleagues can get better visibility of our big plans in security and across Heathrow, or our Earn Your Wins program, covering the essentials of how to be a great manager at Heathrow. Also, Mojo is about having some fun, so I hope many of our partners in the city will join us this year in the next Midnight Marathon, which will take place on Saturday, 17th of June. You still have time to continue training, of course. In terms of transforming customer service, our priority continues being on the most vulnerable passengers, so colleagues benefited from further training to support passengers with autism or dementia, and a new HyCare passenger service program will launch in the coming months. We continue improving passenger journeys and increasing automation with the opening of three new self-boarding gates at Terminal 5. Finally, you will also be pleased to know that we have opened the first wing, a new security lounge and check-in concept for British Airways premium passengers in Terminal 5. Looking ahead, work will soon start on developing our service proposition into how we will give the best of modern British hospitality in the Heathrow way. Turning to Beat the Plan, our new organizational model started delivering savings as we align the company to better support our commercial operational expansion frontline delivery teams. As mentioned, Flybe started operating services to Aberdeen and Edinburgh in March, generating better competition and offer to passengers, reinforcing also our commitment to deliver connectivity within the different regions in the U.K. We were very pleased with Heathrow Express being named U.K. super brand. Now looking ahead, we expect Qatar Airways VIP lounge to open in Terminal 4, generating incremental property income. The construction has started for the first hotel in the central terminal area next to Terminal 2, and we will soon launch Simpler Heathrow to remove our or simplify back office systems and processes. Finally, on sustainable growth, we have launched the airline first phase consultation. We have also launched last month, a few months ago, Heathrow 2.0, which is our new sustainability strategy, and already delivered one of its first flagship goals, which is powering Heathrow with 100% renewable electricity. Yesterday, the search for logistic hubs was also launched, where we are inviting council leaders and members of the wider construction industry to connect our UK-wide skills and supply chain to our expansion plans. And in terms of what's coming next on the expansion side, the public consultation on the national policy statement will conclude in May, and we will run the first of our two consultations this summer. Finally, in terms of sustainability, we will run a sustainability leadership program in the coming months to embed further the new strategy in the way we operate. So I hope this gives you a good and informative overview of what has happened in the last few months. And this concludes our presentation, describing a very strong start to 2017 and a few developments expected in the months ahead. So now I will hand back to Gerry and take some questions from participants on the conference call.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypads. You can withdraw your question at any time by pressing 02 to cancel. There will now be a brief pause while questions are being registered. And our first question comes from the line of Alexei Yanis of PIMCO. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Thank you for taking my questions. Two questions, please. The first is, do you plan to have any new bond issuance in the immediate future? Second question is, regarding the election, I know you said that you don't expect any change in policy to result. Do you expect perhaps a small delay in when you receive parliamentary approval for the third runway, or not necessarily? Thank you.
Thanks, Alex. I think in terms of first question, in terms of plan, I think at this stage, in terms of issuance of plan, we will wait until June, where we will issue our updated investor results. I think looking at the current numbers, we still need to monitor, it's too early, and we still need to monitor all the information coming, so hopefully in June we will be in better position to assess the months to come.
In regarding new issuance, you're saying, so no immediate new issuance,
Well, I think we will continue working with the investor community, and as you know, we are constantly testing out opportunities. So far, we have been very clear that we expect to have no more than £750 million this year. We still have some room to go, so we will continue looking at opportunities in the months to come.
Okay, thank you.
And I think in terms of general election, overall, our take is positive. We believe that with the new timetable, we will see the same government going through both MPS designation but also planning consent to remove some of the risk. And I think in terms of timing, in the short term, it's still early days. We continue working closely with the government, but at this stage, we don't expect material slippage in terms of timetable.
Okay, selection doesn't change much. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Alexis.
Thank you. Just to remind everyone, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypads. You can cancel your question at any time by pressing 02 to cancel. We will now have a further pause while questions are being registered. And our next question comes from the line of Miguel Marina of JB Capital. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, good afternoon. Just one question. In the first quarter, the amount of restricted payments has been £260 million. I think that your guidance for the full year was £450-£500 million. Is that guidance going to be changed? Is this a timing issue, or are you going to revise upwards your restricted payments guidance? Thank you.
Gracias, Miguel. I'll hand back to Andrew to answer the question.
So, hi, Miguel. It's Andrew.
Hi.
Javier effectively touched on the reason why the why the restricted payments are higher in Q1 already. We effectively used a net 140 million pounds were upstreamed, at least partially temporarily, to repay a Heathrow finance bond. So the 260 million that you're referring to is 85 million that was used to pay ultimate shareholder dividends, 35 million on the intercompany loan between Heathrow SP and Heathrow Finance, which was effectively used to service the external debt at Heathrow Finance, and then this 140 million I just mentioned, giving you the 260. So we're not changing our overall view at this stage on payments for the whole of 2017. As I said, it's at least partially, the 140 is a temporary change.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypads now. And as we have no further questions, I'll return the call to Javier Echave for closing comments.
Thank you very much, Jerry. Well, I said thank you all for your time today and for your continued support, and of course, I will look forward to seeing you shortly traveling through Heathrow. Thank you again, and have a nice evening.
This now concludes our call. Thank you for attending. Participants, you may disconnect your lines.